Proverbs 8:18-21 says that this theme of money and possessions is part of the wise life. God watches our financial choices. The first lesson of Proverbs is God watches our financial choices. Now, what does that mean? That means he's watching. Look at what verse 9 says. Honor the Lord with your possessions. He's watching to see when we do have money, when we do have possessions, when our crops do produce, do we think it's all for me? Or do we say, wow, I couldn't have done that without you, God? Now, back over here. This verse contrasts the attitude difference between a saved person and a lost person. A lost person says, hey, I did it all myself. A saved person is humble. They're not proud. And the wisdom from God, they say, thank you, Lord. See the slide? God watches our financial choices. God wants to know what our response is going to be to his blessings. Let me ask you, do you thank the Lord that you have enough resources to be, those of you that are in Bible institutes right now and are watching this as one of your classes, have you stopped and said, Lord, thank you that I have sight and I can hear, that my parents or I earned enough money to pay the tuition, that I have a computer, that whatever. God watches our financial choices. He watches whether or not we take credit for all that we have or we honor him. See what verse 9 says? With your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. 8:18 that you see on the slide goes back to the opening verses we read. But here's the lesson. Seek divine financial planning. Now look up from the slide and think about this with me. There are many people who are financial planners. They'll help you. They will help you invest your money. They'll help you get out of debt. They'll help you have a long-term strategy, a retirement strategy, you know, having enough funds for children to go to school, college, bills, medical bills. Financial planners. Nothing wrong with them. But you know what Proverbs 8:18 says? That we should seek God as our financial planner. The third lesson, if you look at Proverbs 15:6, notice what it says. God says in Proverbs 15:6, he wants us to be a wise steward, listen, of God's possessions. Now look up from your slide and think about this. What are God's possessions? Well, all I have belongs to God. Why? Because I'm his servant. Because I was redeemed, I was bought at a price. Do you see the difference between the saved and the lost? The saved realize that they are living for eternity, that everything they have belongs to God, even their body. They were bought at a price, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6. What do lost people think? They live for now. They're very foolish and rebellious because they're lost and they're proud. And they don't think that their money belongs to someone else. It belongs to them. Be a wise steward of God's possessions. That means everything I have belongs to the Lord, according to the scriptures. Now, chapter 50, be a wise steward of God's possessions. The way to not have God resist you is to do something I'll never forget. My pastor, when I was growing up, asked all of us. He had this service, and he said, I'd like you all to dedicate your life and all you'll ever own to the Lord. He said, if you do it as a young person, it'll make life a lot easier. So as a teenager, just starting to work, just starting, you know, to buy, you know, or start saving money for that first car and look forward to buying it, I remember standing in a consecration service in my youth group at Lake Lansing Baptist Church and saying, Lord, And the pastor actually had a step forward like we were stepping onto an altar. He was a very zealous preacher of consecration. He says, now step up onto the altar in your mind and say, Lord, I belong to you, and everything you ever give to me belongs to you, and I consecrate it to you. Look back at that slide. The third lesson of Proverbs is, be a wise steward of God's possessions. How does that happen? By me surrendering everything to the Lord. Now, if you've never done this, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the verse that all of us should think about. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants us to consecrate, dedicate, sacrifice ourselves to Him. Then we become stewards of what God possesses. So that means my life isn't my own anymore. My money isn't my own. My time isn't my own. I'm just a steward that answers to God. If you look at the next slide, Proverbs 22:4 tells us a very interesting truth. We should handle all money like God is watching. Let's turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 4. And it says this, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. What's the key there? Fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? Knowing that God sees me. What does that translate into? I handle my money, my possessions, my life, everything that I have, like God's watching what I do with it. That's the fear of the Lord. It's this awareness that I'm never alone, that God is watching what I do, and that I'm someday going to stand and give an account to Him for what I did with His money, with His time, with His treasures, with my body. That's why it's so important to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. The fifth lesson is in Proverbs 21 and verse 5. And basically what God says is simply, be a wise planner. We have a choice to make. Let me read it to you. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Now, look up from your slide. God extols planning. See what it says? The plans of the diligent. What is he saying? The person that starts thinking, let's see, if I have two sheep, I need a place for the two sheep to be during the rainy season. I've got to prepare a shelter for them. See, they diligently plan. They don't just let things happen because, see, the second part of verse 5, anyone who's hasty, it leads to poverty. They don't want to plan. They just want to do something, get it over with, and go on with what they want to do. See, God says, I should want to behave what the New Testament calls decently and orderly. Planning, preparation, diligence. Be a wise planner. Wisdom from God says, we don't just go through life bumping into things, wondering what's going to happen. We use our God-given wisdom to think and plan and be diligent. Now, what I'm saying is so contrary to society. Society says, oh, let people just have this chaotic, disorderly life. They kind of learn through chaos. No, God says orderliness, diligence, planning is part of His wisdom that's from above. The sixth lesson from Proverbs is trust God, not money. And we're going to have to turn to Proverbs 11. In verse 28, because this is really one of the dangers, and this verse will come up again. But let me read to you Proverbs 11 and verse 28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Now, you don't have to make weeds grow. You don't have to make grass grow. You don't have to make trees grow. They just are wired that way. And the longer they're there, they just get sunlight and water, and they just flourish like foliage. Now, look what he's saying in this verse, in this 11:28 verse. It says, he who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous, those who trust God, not money, the righteous will flourish. Just as natural as it is that plants and animals grow if they just have food and water and sunlight and exercise, So the righteous flourish, trusting God, not themselves. What Proverbs is telling us is it's so easy to trust ourselves, to trust our way, and not pause. That's even why the Lord says we're supposed to pray before our meals. What are we supposed to, why pray before the meal? We're supposed to acknowledge that our very life's breath comes from God. Do you remember Daniel standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of the world of that day? And Nebuchadnezzar was so powerful, and he looked at Daniel. And do you know what Daniel says? Actually, in Daniel, when he told him about the Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the king was shocked at the testimony of this man who was willing to be standing against the gods of Babylon. Then a little bit later, the second king, Belteshazzar, looked at Daniel and said, "What's that handwriting on the wall?" And Daniel said to him, "The God in whose hand is your life's breath." What Daniel said is that we trust God, not ourselves. God holds our life. He holds riches. They come from Him. Money, even the strength to live. The sixth lesson, trust God, not money. Look at your slides. The seventh lesson is think about investments, not for the moment, but for eternity. Now turn with me to Proverbs 3 and verse 35. Proverbs 3 and verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Invest for eternity. The wise shall inherit glory. Now, not just glory that people say, "Wow, you know, the Lord is blessing your life and you have all this prosperity." But glory, look at this. The saved and submissive and humble, those who are going God's way, are living for eternity. Glory is not just the wonder right now. It's the place we're going. We're going to live in the glorious presence of God forever. But what does it say in 35? But shame shall be the legacy of fools. Why? Because they're headed to destruction. The man's way, Jesus said, is the broad way that leads to destruction. So what's the lesson? Invest for eternity. Invest what? Invest your money. Invest your time. Invest your treasures for eternity. Think about the long haul. Think about where we're headed. Think about who we're going to give an account to. The seventh lesson, invest for eternity. Proverbs goes on to say, stay humble about your money. And we're going to read two verses there. In Proverbs 22:2, it says, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. Do you understand? The Lord makes the rich and the Lord makes the poor. He said, the poor you will always have with you. There are some people that the Lord has created them, and they basically have their little patch of land. This is 3,000 years ago. They have their little farm and they just grow enough there to live on and eat. They never really amass a lot of stuff. They are poor. There are others next to them that amass so much and have so much and are rich. And guess what? God is the God of both. Look at that verse again. Look at 22:2. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. Why do we get proud? Because we think being rich is better than being poor, which means we're greater. See, humility is accepting what God gives. We submit to Him. There's something about the pride that comes with riches that the Lord is very opposed to. He says that the rich are infected in the book of James with pride. But look at 17:5. He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. God says, stay humble. Don't think you're better. Don't mock the poor. Don't mock. Now look, in our age, it's so easy in social media to be sarcastic and critical and to look down on and to brag and to show off. And God says, what does 17:5 say? He who mocks the poor reproaches God, their maker. The best way to deal with financial things is stay humble. And don't incur the reproaching of our Creator God, who is the maker of the rich and of the poor. Lesson 9, if you look at your slides, is practice generosity. There is one who scatters yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right. Now, what is this talking about? This is talking about generosity. As Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It says in verse 24, there is one who scatters. In other words, he keeps giving. It keeps going out from him. Yet, verse 24, he increases more. But there's one who withholds. He doesn't scatter. He just holds on and kind of gathers more and more and clings to everything. And verse 24 says, he withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. What does God say? He said, I love you being generous. I love you sharing. I love you taking from what I've given you and giving it to others that are in need. And the Lord says, I will bless that. See, God blesses generosity. Remember a few lessons back, I told you that God's always watching. That's one of these lessons from Proverbs. God is always watching what we do with our money. And when he sees us being generous, he blesses us. And when he sees us being stingy and withholding more than we should, he withholds blessing from us. The 10th lesson, number 10, is stay honest in your dealings financially. Proverbs 13:11 in your Bibles, this is what it says. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. God is watching. And if we don't stay honest, he'll resist and even remove our gain in our lives. You say, wait a minute, what about all these people that are, you know, stealing from corporations and everything? Yes, God is not quick in his response. The way that God deals with mankind is kind of a long-term way. But the eternal principle is stay honest. Money gained by dishonest means dwindles fast away. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. Now, the Lord is always watching. And you want to have his blessing with your finances? Stay honest. And number 11, beware of greed. Greed is always condemned by God in his word. And Proverbs 15 and verse 27 says this, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The key is greediness for gain won't just harm me. It'll harm my family. There are so many examples of this. But what God says is, as a principle of his word, beware of greed. Accept what God gives us. It's a whole part of contentment.